All right, so this is Children and Youth Sunday. Children and Youth Sunday. As you can see, the children and youth are involved. How many people were here were greeted by a child or youth as you came in? You know, I kind of did like a secret greeter type of a thing. I just walked in to make sure they were doing it correctly, and they did. They greeted me correctly. Even my own son did. Yes. He didn't even ignore me. Yes, but it's great. I love these Sundays. Jen has talked about how much she loves these Sundays. I love these Sundays too. And if you saw the intro video to the sermon that I do every week, I mentioned the idea that there might be some surprises today. Might be some surprises. Might be. And then I just asked a few people, are you going to be in the service this morning? And they said, yes, and I said, good. And they said, why? What are you going to do? And I just simply said, we'll see. And do you know how much mistrust I saw on everybody's face? Everybody gave me the same response. What are you going to do? What's going to happen? What are you going to... So, this is what we're going to do. And we're going to do this step by step, and the surprises are going to kind of come out themselves. So I'm going to begin with Miss Jen. Would you mind coming up here, please? Miss Jen, you would mind? Okay, but please be obedient and come up anyway. All right, well, if everybody would show your appreciation for Miss Jen and everything she does for the church, come on up. Now, you're probably going to need a little bit of help for what I'm going to ask you to do. So what I want to ask you to do is if you could choose a volunteer from somebody from the elementary department that you're in charge of to come up and help you.
What are they going to help me with?
You'll see in just a second. All right, very good. All right, let's give him a hand as he comes up. And as he's coming up, Miss Brenda, you're not out of this. Come on up, Miss Brenda. Now, nobody has any idea what's happening here but me. No one. Zero. And yes, is that scary, Brenda? We're going to need a couple more handhelds, I believe. So now, Brenda, you need some help as well. So if you want to choose somebody from the youth 8 category, we have people in the tech room raising their hand, people over here. So choose somebody from the youth. There you go. All right, let's give Elizabeth a hand as she comes down. All right, so that pretty much covers the children and youth. So next, I would like to ask... help from a staff person, maybe who isn't involved with the children and youth. I don't know who that may be, but if maybe there might be a staff person who's not involved with the children and youth, if he would raise his hand, or she, he or she, they're both on this side, so I don't know which one's going to take the bait here. Okay, how many want Deb up here? Yeah. All right, and how many want Kevin? Man, this is, I couldn't tell. Could you tell? That sounded like a tie to me. Why don't you guys just help each other? Come on up. There you go. Just come on up there. Help each other. All right. So this is what we're going to do. I have an envelope of surprises right here. Envelope of surprises. And what I'm going to ask each of them to do, you are to draw one of these out. And then you are to confer with your help. So when I'm ready and I point to you, then you are to do whatever this says. Okay? Both of you are to do whatever this says. Now, you do agree to cooperate, correct?
Maybe.
All right. So, here we go. Go ahead. Draw one out. Just take one. Don't look. Don't look. Don't look. Don't look. Don't look. Don't look. There you go. You and Miss Jen go over and come up with your plan. Okay? Here we go. Don't look, don't look, don't look, don't look. Just take one. You and Miss Brenda come up with your plan. Next. This is fun. Go ahead. Don't look, don't look, don't look. Don't look. Don't look.
Nothing.
Okay. Let me ask the honest one to do it then. There you go. Now, you two go put your heads together and come up with your plan, please. All right. So while they're working on their plan, let's begin the passage we're going to read for our message today, which we have been going over, which is Luke chapter 24. You guys don't have to leave the auditorium. Where are you guys going? Oh, my goodness. Give them a little bit and they just go like, okay. All right. So Luke chapter 24, verse 33. You remember we've been looking at chapter 24, and it's a very exciting chapter. And they got up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found gathered together the 11 and those who were with them, saying, "The Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon." They began to relate their experiences on the road and how he was recognized by them in the breaking of the bread. While they were telling these things, he himself stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought that they were seeing a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is my I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they still could not believe it because of their joy and amazement, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. Now he said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you. But you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." And he led them out as far as Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they, after worshiping him, returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising God. Now the focus for this morning is this, is verse 44. "Now he said to them, 'These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled.'" All right, so everybody, all of our volunteers, all of our volunteers, are you ready? Are you all prepared and you're ready? Now, this is what's going to happen is I'm going to call each of them up with their help, and they're going to do whatever this note told them to do. What your job is to guess what is on the note. So they're not going to say anything. They're not going to tell you what's on the note. No one's supposed to know. You're supposed to guess. We're going to see how well they can do what I wrote down. So, Miss Jen and Kale, come on up. Now, both of you must do it. Don't pass it off on Kale. Both of you. All right, give him a hand. Good job. That didn't take long at all. Great job. Okay, next.
"Here I am to worship."
Well, now, is that what it said? What did it say? Let me see what it said. Yeah, let me see. Right, that's true, but they didn't say this. They didn't say that part. Let's do it again. You didn't even finish.
What?
Oh, okay. Oh, that, okay. I guess it could be. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. It's all right. Go ahead.
"Here I am to worship."
Ah, there. Try it again. Yes, the singing part is right. Close. They're getting there. Yeah. It's really quite simple, and you're going to be mad at me when I tell you what it is, and you're going to kick yourself and me probably harder. But do it one more time.
"Here I am to worship."
Oh, we're getting closer. Go ahead and tell them, Brenda.
Sing one line of a song.
One line. See, I'm very specific with these things. So give them a hand. They did a great job. Yes. Now, how many people want to see this next one? Yes, that's what I figured. We got the most popular one coming up here. Come on up, guys and gal. It's Is the mic not? No, we got, wait, we got to have the mic. We got to have you. We need the mic. We need the. What's going on with the mic? Would you stop whining? My goodness. Feel like you're in the back seat of the car.
Testing.
Test it again. Test it. Could you get the mic going, please?
Okay.
Get the mic going.
Testing.
There you go. There you go.
One, two.
Okay, now both of you need to do it. Both of you, not just one.
Okay.
So, you want another mic? See, there were 10 options in the envelope, so I had no idea what they were going to get. All right.
Told you we didn't need a microphone.
How about I hold the mic next time for the noise, for the sound effect? Yes, there you go. Okay, give them a hand. Thank you. All right, now, some of you are thinking, what in the world was all of that about? Well, there's a reason. There was a method to my madness. At times, there is a method to my madness, and not all the times. But did you notice one of the things that took place there is that what was written came to be. So what was written actually took place. So they were told to pretend they're fishing. They pretended they're fishing. They were told to sing one line of a song. They were told to sing one line of a song. They were told to fall down, and they fell down. I had no idea. I could have stacked that one. I couldn't have stacked that one any better that you guys would have got that one. Yeah, so I apologize for that. Not really, but yes. So everything that was written down is what happened. That is what Jesus is trying to convince the disciples here in Luke chapter 24. Because what's happening here from the beginning is that the angel, Jesus, everybody's trying to convince the disciples that Jesus was actually the Messiah, he was actually the Christ, and he did rise from the grave. Everybody's trying to convince them that this is true, that he is in fact who he said he was going to be. And so what took place was we have the witnesses that are on the road to Emmaus who come back to the 11 disciples, and they say he really did rise again. In other words, Jesus is who he said he is. Disciples are struggling believing it. Jesus then, he himself appears before them. And then that still isn't enough. After that, they continue to challenge it, even though he's right there in their midst. And he says, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. So he's trying to convince them that it is true. And he's basically saying, why don't you believe me? Now, we've talked about this for a couple weeks, the whole idea of how difficult it is when you know a truth and you know something is true 100% and somebody doubts it. One of my biggest pet peeves is when somebody would ever, I'm not saying I'm right in this at all, but if somebody ever says, no, that's not correct, and they aren't even able to give me an explanation of why. And they're just stuck on it. I had a roommate like that in college. Every time we get into any kind of debate or anything, nah, that's not right. It's like, well, okay, can you, well, prove it to me. No, it's just not right. It's just not right. It's just not. I want you to come back and tell me why. Why isn't it right? What is the reasoning behind it? That's similar to what's happening with Jesus here, where he's saying, why are you troubled and why do doubts arise in your hearts? In so many ways, he's saying, what do I have to do to get you to understand that this is true? And then what he does the same thing with the disciples that he did with the people on the road to Emmaus. Does anybody remember what he did with the two guys on the road to Emmaus that finally opened up their eyes? He broke bread. Right, he broke bread, and then at the same time, what was he doing? He gave thanks. Yep. And at the same time, he went to the scriptures and he showed them what the scriptures said about him. That was the basis of what he did, was the scriptures. So this is Jesus opening up the scriptures. And their scriptures at the time were the Old Testament. And so it's like pretty much him opening up a scroll. And it's amazing, isn't it? Because if we ask the question, who wrote the Old Testament? Jesus. Yeah. I mean, we have men that God inspired to write it, but it was, Jesus pretty much was the author of the Old Testament. And so when you look at this, this is like the author opening up his own book. If you've ever written a book before, one of the things about that, or written a paper or anything, you are pretty much the one who knows what's in there, right? You are pretty much the one who gets it. And so it's, I always find it funny when people challenge the authors themselves about what's in their book that they wrote, as if the author wouldn't know, as if the author doesn't understand or the author doesn't get it. That's kind of what's happening here. And Jesus is opening up the book about him and demonstrating to them that this is true. He does the same thing here with the disciples. If you look at what happens with the disciples, he says, verse 44, after he ate the fish in front of them, he said, "Now he said to them, 'These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you.'" Now, isn't that amazing? Right there, he's saying, listen to this. What I am saying right now is true, because what I said before I died is true. And he's challenging them on their doubting, and he's challenging them on being troubled and what's taking place, and he's letting them know, no, what I told you before is true. He continues on, and he says, all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. So when you talk to Jesus about the scriptures, there's no question, there's no doubting. It's the simple idea of, this is what it says, that means this is what's going to take place. The problem the disciples had was, they understood what, they heard what Jesus said, but they didn't quite get it, and it wasn't as if they even believed what Jesus said. Did you notice that? The disciples didn't even believe what Jesus said. When he said he's going to rise again on the third day, no, they didn't even believe that. They weren't trusting in that, because if they were, they would have been waiting outside the tomb on the third day, waiting for him to rise. But they doubted what the scriptures said, and that was where what the problem was. And so the whole theme of Luke chapter 24 is all about the idea of being certain. It's about the idea of certainty from the very beginning, when Luke said, "I'm writing these things so that you will be certain about the things you have been taught." And then the whole basis is going back to the scriptures. And I want you to think for a moment how powerful that is for Jesus to prove to the men, to two men in Emmaus, and to prove to the disciples the truth of who he is, because he takes them back to the scriptures. Now, I think if any of us would have been there, it would have been probably something like this. They would have probably been like, "Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember them saying that at the synagogue one time. I remember the law and the prophets being taught. Oh, that's right. I remember my teacher standing up there and saying about what's going to happen to Christ." It's amazing how the Pharisees, the leaders of the church, knew the scripture, but yet they didn't. Did you know you can know the scripture and not know it? They knew the scripture, but yet they didn't know the scripture, which means they were the ones that had the scripture. They were the ones that had the truth, and yet they were the ones who were not able to even see what was happening in the life of Jesus, and they questioned it even though it was true and it was outlined for them. And I always thought that some Pharisee should have spoke up and said, "Wait a minute, guys, wait a minute. Don't you remember Sunday school? Don't you remember what they were teaching us? They said this was going to happen. They said he was going to die on the cross. Are we really going to be surprised about this?" You know, one of the things that I've heard of many times, guys, is that a lot of times people, they don't want to serve God. And I ask them why. This has happened with kids. Kids have even come and said this to me. Kids, so they don't want to serve God. And they come up and they say, "I don't want to serve God. Why?" "Well, God is mean." Say, "Okay, well, why is he mean?" "Well, he let this happen. He let that happen. He didn't save this person's life. There's wars. There's starving children in the world." And I've heard that from adults as well, that say, "Well, God is mean because of all that." I remember when there was a tragedy that happened to Christians one time, and I was in a church, I was traveling in evangelism, and the next day, during the Sunday school class that I was sitting in on, someone spoke up and said, "This is not right." They said, "God should protect his people." I apologize, but that's somebody who doesn't understand the scripture. Look down through the scripture, folks. Where did God protect his people? Where do you see, you look at Jesus, what happened to him? He was crucified. You look at the Apostle Paul, what happened to him? He was stoned and put in prison. Look at all of the disciples, except for two, were martyrs. And yet we're going to look and say, "Well, I'm not going to serve God." Well, that means that we don't understand what the scripture says, because the scripture makes it pretty clear that if we're going to serve Jesus, we're taking up our cross. And if we take up our cross, that's pretty difficult. That's not easy. Doesn't mean that God's going to make everything perfect for us when we come to Jesus and when we follow him. And so one of the problems that we have seen is how the idea of understanding the scripture but yet not understanding it and actually putting the Bible on the shelf, so to speak. So one of the things that I want us to do today, I want you to think about this today, and this is for every age group. But if I start with just the elementary kids, if every elementary kid could look at me right now, please, every elementary kid, everyone. Do I have every elementary kid looking at me? Every single one, everyone. Everyone, okay. Now, you don't have to answer this out. I'm not asking you to answer audibly, but I want you to ask yourself the question today. I want you to ask yourself the question, how often do you read the Bible? How often? And along with that question, I want you to be thinking about how much is your life different when you read it versus when you don't? Okay? Be thinking about that for a moment. Now I want to ask the youth, all the members of the youth, the middle school, senior high. Okay, raise your hand. We have them in the tech booth back there. Yes. All right, so here's the question for you. The same question is, how often do you read the Bible? And how different is it for you when you read it versus when you don't? And now I want to talk to you adults. And I want to ask you, how often do you read the Bible, and how different is it for you when you don't read it versus when you do? You see, because one of the problems, folks, is we need the scriptures. We need God's word. We need it. We desperately need it. Why? Why do we need God's word? Can anybody tell me? Any kid? Can any kid tell me why we need God's word? Anybody? Youth? Elementary, why do we need God's word? Yes. Oh, both, one at a time. Go ahead. Because Jesus lived the way that God desires us to live. Is that what you, okay, good, very good. Did you have the same thing, or did you have something? Okay. Oh, good. Yeah, so he teaches us what he's done for other people so that we know he has power to do the same thing for us someday as well. Great answers, wasn't it, folks? Okay, now, adults, why is it important to read the Bible? It's a guideline of how we should live. Good. Anybody else? Say it again. Yes, and where did you get that from? Is that a cliche or some an old saying? Or no, from Psalms. "I have hidden thy word in my heart that I might not sin against God." Yes, in the back. Spiritual food, very good. Yes. God speaks to us through his word. Very good. Man, you guys, tremendous answers. Church dismissed. We don't need anything else. No, great answers, guys. This is incredible. But think about that for a moment. I want you to think about what we just heard and how the majority of us, at least, and hopefully all, agree with what we just heard of why, but how many of us actually treat it that way? How many of us actually treat his scriptures that way that we need it that much? I remember I was preaching at a youth camp in Arizona when I was in evangelism, and I was in the line for lunch, and I was there with the teens, and of course, you know, I'm just wanting to hear what the teens have to say and just listen to them. And one of them started to challenge me. And he started to talk about, you know, what about the countries that don't have a Bible? There's countries overseas, they don't have a Bible, and they've never heard about Jesus, and nobody ever went and preached there. What about them? Why are we supposed to believe this if they're not able to? And on he went. And you've probably heard those arguments before. You probably heard all those, and there's answers to those arguments. But instead of getting into the answers, I decided that what was best was to talk about him. Because my response was, well, that's all well and good for them. God will sort that out. But what is God asking you to do? And what has God given you? One of the things that we are really seeing challenged today in our world is that I can't tell you how often I'm seeing now on social media people saying that the Bible is an archaic book of fables. I can't tell you how many times I'm seeing people say that it's fictitious and it's something that we shouldn't believe in. And it's not true. And we're seeing that challenged all the time. And yet you put that together with the statistics that are telling us how many believers, even in the United States, are not even opening it up at all, are not even looking at it. Then it's no wonder why we have so many issues and problems. Because as Fred said, it's the guideline for our life. And if it's spiritual food and if it's a guideline for our life, then we should be in it. And what that means is, and this means for any age, elementary, youth, adult, any age, somebody should be able to stop you at any time and say, where are you at in the Word right now? And you should be able to give a response. So I ask you right now, not asking for a response, but where are you in the Word right now? If somebody was to ask you, where are you in the Word? What is God teaching you from the Word? What have you been reading lately? What have you been studying lately from the Scriptures? Because it is the truth and it is the guideline for our life and for everything that we believe. So I remember when I was a kid, and this is what's funny. I'm at that age now where I have to remind people that I was a kid. I never had to. You know, because one of the things, Brandon can tell you, one of the reasons why I have this goatee is because my first church, I had everything clean shaven, all my hair was cut from when it was long, as you guys saw the picture before. I was 25, but I looked like I was 14. And you know what? People would come to the church, and the janitor was there. The one time, my first church I'm pastoring, I'm there in the office, and the janitor comes in and says, furnace guy's done, he needs you to sign off on the bill. So I go out to sign off, and he looks at me confused, the furnace guy. You're the preacher here? Yeah, yeah. The only preacher? Yes. And I got so tired of hearing that constantly. I finally asked Miranda one time, she can remember this, when am I going to stop being known as the young preacher? She said, probably when you're old. So I got to the place now, and I think a lot of this has to do with it, but you know, I still feel like I'm a kid. I still feel like I'm a youth. Anybody else have that problem? You still feel like you can just get right along with the teens, and you know, and I jump in and I start throwing out one-liners from Abbott and Costello, and they're going, what are you talking? Who's Abbott and Costello? You know, all those things, you know, who's on first? I mean, come on, everyone knows that. So we have all of that that's taking place. And so when I was a kid, I remember when I was given my first Bible. I can remember it. Because something happened. I don't know what happened. I mean, we have Bibles all over our house as Christians, and everybody had a Bible, but I didn't have my one Bible that I would say was mine. There were some times when I had to even borrow my mother's Bible and bring that to youth group, because during youth group at times, they would have contests, and if you brought your Bible, you would get extra points. And I couldn't find my Bible, so I'd bring my mom's, and everybody knew it was my mom's. It was this big honking thing here with bulletins sticking out of it, everything else imaginable. I'm coming in with it. But I remember the first time that I got my Bible. The secretary of the board takes me aside with my father right before a service. And he said, Chad, we heard that you don't have your own Bible. And I remember standing there and just watching him as he says, we wanted, on behalf of the church, we would like to give this to you. This is yours. You open it up. They signed it, everything. This was Chad's Bible. That was one of the greatest days of my life. And I didn't even realize at the moment what was happening. But when somebody's giving you the Bible, this isn't just any other book, folks. This is what God has given to us. And I always go back to this because I love the story of Billy Graham when he went out on the stump and he didn't know what to do because in college they were all debating about whether it was really the Bible, whether it was really God's word or not, whether it was inspired or not, and he didn't know what to do. And he said, and I quote, he threw it down on a stump and he said, Lord, by faith, I accept this as your word. And then he said, and I don't care what the scholars say. And that's really where we need to get to, folks. Because right now, scholars are challenging whether or not this is really the Bible, really the scripture, really his word or not, but it is. And it makes perfect sense to understand why our world is in such a horrible state right now is because so many people are challenging whether that's his really his book or not. Of course it is. Of course that's going to cause our world to fall apart. Because if that's our guideline, that's our spiritual food, and without it, come on, we can't survive. So, I have a question. Miss Jen, this is an easier one. If there was anyone in this church, or especially in the elementary department that you oversee, that you knew they needed a Bible and they wanted a Bible and they came to you and asked for a Bible, what would your answer be? There you go. So, everybody, if you don't have a Bible, you can get one. Okay, Miss Brenda, what would your answer be? Yes, here's a Bible for you. Okay, adults, what would your answer be? Yep, I remember when I was in college one time and I got so frustrated because a lot of times I get frustrated and because I wasn't the best organized person there ever was and wasn't the neatest. And I didn't realize that until after Miranda came and saw my room one time when girls were allowed in the one time, and she kind of made a comment. And that's when I realized how bad it really was. I had no idea. It's just how I lived. It didn't matter. Piles of stuff over here, whatever is happening. But so because of that, if you're not organized and if you don't keep things neat, then what happens is you have this ability to lose things. And you're trying to find something. There were many times I'm trying to leave my dorm room by myself. My roommate already left. And I'm trying my best to find my keys. Where are my keys? And I'm picking up everything, looking around and stirring it all up, trying to find my keys. And finally, I glance over and I look at the door that's hanging open. And they're hanging right there in the door the whole time. But there was one time I couldn't find my Bible. And I remember getting frustrated about it. Where did I put it? Where's my Bible? I can't find it. Where is it? And then it actually went through my head because there was a lot of stuff going on in our dorm and, different pranks were being pulled and those kind of things. And it went over my head as, somebody better not have stole my Bible. They better not have because I'm going to make sure they get punished for stealing my Bible. And boy, did God convict me in that moment. Hey, you want to steal my Bible? Go ahead. Well, it's on the iPad now. You can't have the iPad, but you can have the app off of it. But I want you to think about how important it is. And if you have leaders here, kids, that believe in you enough that they would give you a Bible at any moment if you say you need one. And not just that, but look at our world. Right here, I see somebody over on a device over here. There's several of you that use devices. I know that, whether it's iPods, iPhones, your phone, your tablet, whatever it might be. Every single one of them, to my knowledge, has an app with at least one app with a Bible version on it that you can actually get for free. Does anybody here know of any phone or any app service of Apple or Google, whichever, that does not have one? So, you know, when Jesus is appearing to the disciples and when Jesus is saying, come on, guys, I'm standing right here. That's not enough for you. I kind of think he's saying, come on, guys. I've given you every way possible to get into my word. What's your excuse? Why not? So here's what I want you to do with all of this today. Number one, I want you to go away to this morning believing more than ever that the Bible is God's word and it's inspired by him and it is what he desires us to read and it is the only answer to our life as followers of Jesus. There is no other way. The second thing I want you to do, kids especially, I want you, if you're not already, make sure you're coming to kids' clubs. Make sure you're coming to the 9 o'clock class. Make sure you come to vacation school. That is what it's for. And because we have everything you need here to teach you the Bible. Adults, I want to ask you, get involved in a focus group. We have focus groups that teach the Bible. Come to the 9 o'clock class. We come, for the whole purpose of that is to teach the Bible. And can continue to come on Sundays at 10 because the main reason we're here is to hear what God has to say from his word. But more importantly, for you, each of you individually, I want everyone today to go out of here with one extra commitment today of all ages. And what that is I want you to read the Bible more than you already do. Whatever that is, whatever that may be, you say, Chad, I don't read it. Okay, start. 5 minutes. Make a commitment. I'll do it 5 minutes today. 5 minutes, I'll read the Bible. Make an extra commitment because the only way, folks, we're going to survive this life is if we are in his word and we know his word and we allow him to teach us his word. It would be a shame, wouldn't it, folks? It really would. It would be a shame if on the day we stand before God, and he looks at us and says, what else could I have done? You literally had my voice at your fingertips, and you ignored it. This is what we are all about, folks. This is what all of this is about, is what Jesus has to say to us through his word. Lord, we thank you today for who you are, for all that you mean to us. We ask you, God, that you would continue to teach us and show us what it means to follow you. But Lord, more than ever, make us servants of your word. Lord, I pray for everybody in this place. I pray for all of the children right now. I pray for all of those who are in elementary right now. I pray that right now that they would start a habit now in their life more than ever of reading your word each and every day so that you can speak truth into their life so that they can be guided according to what you say and not according to what they say. I pray for all of the youth that are here, Jesus, all of the teenagers, the middle school and the senior high. I pray for them, Jesus, that today they would be making a commitment to your word more than ever. They would just be saying, Jesus, I want this. Jesus, I desire this. And they would be reading your word each and every day. And even during the days when they doubt, when they wonder whether this is the right thing to do or not, that you would remind them that this is real and this is true. Lord, I pray for every adult here. Lord, there's so many times we go through issues in our life and we don't know what to do. And the problem is your answer is right in front of us and we overlook it so many times. And many times we would rather go to others instead of going to your word. I pray, Jesus, that each of us, all of the adults here, Jesus, would make a commitment to be in your word more than we ever have in our life because that is what is needed in our life and in our world today. I ask all these things in your name. The name of Jesus. Amen. And what I'd like to ask you to do today in closing, children and youth, we always do it different. And I always do some type of invitation on children and youth. You guys know that. Somehow I want you to get out of your seat. I always want that. What I want to do is I want to ask you to respond today and just gather around the front. If we could just sing this last song together. And what we're responding to specifically today. There's a lot of things you can respond to. There's a lot of things on your heart, and we're not telling you not to respond for different things, but specifically is saying, you know what? At the very least, I agree that His Word is the only answer, and I will commit to it more than I ever have. So as they begin to play, would you come and join us up front in making that declaration that His Word is going to be the guide for your life as much as is possible.